This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, August 30th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off today. Thanks so much for joining us on the last Monday of August, the month traditionally dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We continue to pray for all the people of Louisiana who are suffering due to Category 4 Hurricane Ida, one of the most powerful storms ever to hit the U.S. that made landfall yesterday on the 16th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Again, yesterday on Sunday, this extremely dangerous Hurricane Ida packed maximum sustained winds of 150 miles per hour at landfall. It's knocked out power to around a million people, including 100% of the city of New Orleans. Ida has now been downgraded to a tropical storm, and we continue to pray for all those people who are suffering, who are going through unbelievably hard times as they wait to be rescued in their very own homes. And we start this show and every hour of Morning Air praying to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the executive producer of our program, the Holy Spirit, as we say every day whenever we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up in just a few minutes, momentarily, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, is going to be with us to discuss John Lynch's induction into the NFL Hall of Fame, who thanked his parents for handing on the Catholic faith to him. And in the second half hour of the show, former NBA referee Deacon Steve Javy continues his inspirational story from the hardwood to the diaconate. And we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more here this hour on Morning Air. As we do every day, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life. Today's edition is from Matthew 18:20. Jesus said to his disciples, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that he is with us if we come to him united in prayer. Christ is present among us in many different ways. In the Mass, he's present in the sacraments, he's present in the priests, also in the Word of God, and whenever we gather together, where two or more are gathered in prayer. And that's why the Lord hears our prayer, especially here when we pray on Relevant Radio. When we unite ourselves in prayer, the Chapel of Divine Mercy in the afternoon with Drew, or on the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, Christ is present. He is with us. Pray with great confidence. Jesus, I trust in you. Again, I want to tell you briefly about another great book promotion here at Relevant Radio. Father Rocky's book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By, is now available absolutely for free. This is an outstanding book. It's very practical, has concrete advice about what can and should be discussed before getting married, what should be done after getting married to ensure a more stable, joy-filled, and long-lasting marital union. This is something that I know firsthand because Father Rocky gave my wife and I a lot of good advice before we got married. It's a quick read with practical tips that can be put into practice right away. Get your copy. totally free marriage insurance at relevantradio.com/marriage. There's no shipping or handling charges, but it's only available for a very limited short time. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, again, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now I want to switch gears and talk about football and faith as the football season has begun, the college football season this past weekend, the pro start in a couple of weeks. Earlier this month here in August, longtime hard-hitting safety John Lynch was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, as a member of the 2021 class. Listen to part of Lynch's Hall of Fame enshrinement speech in which he credited his parents for his Catholic faith.
As everyone up here will attest, it takes a lot of belief to get to this stage. However, belief is not something that simply happens. It has to be nurtured a million times over. A note, a pat on the back, a piece of advice, coaching. These are the things that foster belief in ourselves. Today, I will recognize those who have done this for me. My parents, John and Kathy. Your standards and expectations were always high. Your love always unconditional. The Catholic faith that you instilled in me and blessed me with is my guiding light. Where would I be without it? Where would I be without both of you? Mom and Dad, I'm truly grateful and I love you.
Powerful, powerful speech, and that's just a portion of it, of Hall of Famer John Lynch, the now general manager with the San Francisco 49ers, who recorded one of the all-time great NFL careers as a player in his 11 seasons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and later 4 seasons with the Denver Broncos. What can we learn from this powerful enshrinement speech? And now joining us to talk about the faith of NFL Hall of Famer John Lynch, one of the greatest safeties of all time, is our very own spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain, known as the baseball priest, as well as the director for the Office for Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. Good morning, Father Burke. Welcome back. Great to be with you once again.
Thanks, John. Always great to be with you, too.
Father Burke, you just heard a portion of the words of John Lynch during his enshrinement speech. It was a very powerful, passionate speech. This NFL Hall of Famer recognized, first of all, his wife, Linda, who used to write him a little note every single game when he was a player, and then later when he worked on Fox, on the NFL on Fox. He mentioned that these notes calmed him and helped him to focus. Talk about your thoughts. Thoughts on the words of John Lynch and his devotion, beginning with his wife, and then we'll later talk about his faith as well.
Yeah, it was a powerful experience. I got to know John through my friend Mike Sweeney, you know, played for the Kansas City Royals, and visiting Mike out in San Diego. Mike and Mike's family and John's family go to the same parish. And Mike said, "You've got to meet John Lynch. What a great man, great Catholic man." And so we became friends. And so several months ago, John called me and he said, "I'd like you to be a part of our football, you know, Hall of Fame induction." I said, "Really?" You know, I was stunned by the invitation. He said, "I want to make our Catholic faith a central part of this. I want to you know, talk about my faith in my speech, and then I'd like to have a private mass with my family and guests." And so he and Linda, you know, they talked about the best part of their experience that weekend was celebrating mass with their family and guests and honoring, you know, his parents, as we heard in that clip there, that the best gift that his parents gave him was his Catholic faith. And I thought, wow, what a great witness. You know, sometimes with our faith, we kind of bury it, and, you know, it's this private thing that we do on Sunday morning for an hour. And, you know, he shared it openly with millions of people there a few weeks ago. And I thought it was a great witness for anyone who likes sports that might have been watching, but also an encouragement for parents to say, wow, this is the greatest gift that I can pass on to my kids. And you know, how am I doing that with my own children?
Absolutely. And in the speech, he made reference to the fact that he was a highly touted baseball player also, as well as a quarterback in his college days. So there's the connection with you, Father, as a baseball priest.
Yeah, I was. I had almost forgotten that he was actually drafted higher in baseball than he was in football, isn't that? So he was drafted in the third round in football, and drafted in the second round by the Florida Marlins in baseball. And ironically, he pitched two seasons in the minor leagues. Part of that was with the Kane County Cougars, which was a team that I worked for before I went to the seminary. And so our paths probably crossed back in the day, but didn't even know it. And, you know, I'm living in Clarendon Hills, Illinois, and he was born in Hinsdale, which is the next town over. His dad went to Bennett High School here in our diocese before, you know, moving to California. John was raised in Southern California, so there were a lot of connections. But he played two seasons of baseball, and then Coach Walsh came to be the football coach his senior year at Stanford, and he said Coach Walsh called me. He was going to give up football altogether, and Coach Walsh called him and said, you know, you were the best defensive player on the team last year, and I need you back. And he said, Coach Walsh inspired him to no end, and he said, you're going to be playing on Sundays one day. And he said just that line gave him confidence that, wow, he could do this. So not only did he almost give up football, but then became a member of the NFL Hall of Fame, which is just an incredible story. And incredibly talented person athletically, but an even better person, you know, off the field, a great husband and father of four, and a beautiful wife, Linda.
It just goes to show what a great influence a coach or a mentor can be. Bill Walsh may have given the encouragement to take that next step and choose the NFL, and the rest is history as he'd go on to become one of the all-time great safeties and a Hall of Famer. I find it very interesting to hear all the different perspectives that John Lynch gave, starting by just giving thanks to his spouse, who he realized, you know, the spouse is so important in one's life, and his wife Linda was very instrumental in getting him to where he went.
Yeah, and so to your first point there, that the coaches, it made me think of my own coaches along my journey and the impact that they've had on my life. Yes, on the field, but even more importantly, you know, off the field, to help me to become a better man. And so those of you who are coaches out there, never underestimate, and teachers as well, the impact that you can have on children and young men and women is, you know, incredible. You're kind of co-parenting these young student-athletes along with their parents. And then, yes, to be a spouse of a professional athlete, you know, it takes a special person because they're on the road a lot, they're working out. I know they're gone a lot, and so the spouse has to be a very flexible, adaptable person, and you know, they have to really sacrifice a lot. And so, getting to know Linda and how well they've done with their four children, just a beautiful person inside and out, and you could see her graciousness as they're, you know, hosting. You know, they probably had you know, a couple hundred guests there. She was, you know, stunningly beautiful, but also you could see her heart and John's heart, rooted in faith, rooted in Jesus Christ, how they just love people and continue to do so.
Father Burke, it's so inspiring to see a player of the stature of John Lynch, who has relied on his Catholic faith to guide him. Can you talk about what a great example he can be for other athletes, not just in football, but in all other sports, and especially for young kids, a great example for youngsters?
Yeah, men like John Lynch are so important because the young people today, they see the athletes on TV, and they, you know, you see them starting to imitate you know, how the players act on the field. But for someone to have that stature, I mean, to be in the Hall of Fame, there's such a limited number of people who make that level, who openly talk about their faith. I think for kids, it makes them realize, wow, this life is not just about sports. Like, I love to hear when young boys will tell me, Father, I want to be a baseball player and a priest, you know, to realize that, you know, sports will come and go. You know, John is, he's 49 years old now, you know, and he still has a long life ahead of him. You know, that his athletic career on the field was short, relatively speaking, but what lasts forever, not just in this life, but into eternity, is our faith. And so I think that witness is so important for our children to see, okay, it's great to shoot for, you know, playing in the NFL or playing in the major leagues, but most important is, where is your heart? Who do you follow? Who do you believe in? And, you know, if we place our faith in Christ and practice our Catholic faith, you know, John and Linda, wherever they would go, you know, if they're on the road or whatever, Mass is an essential part of, you know, their weekend. And so, you know, today we have so many traveling sports and families going all over the place, and it would be easy to put aside our faith and our practice of the, you know, going to Mass on Sunday. But I think seeing somebody like John will help parents to say too, wow, even if we're 500 miles away from home, you know, playing in a travel team, I need to look for Mass and make my faith a priority over everything else.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a great word of encouragement for young kids, even high school kids who make football their priority, just like some baseball players do as well. And they end up forgetting to go to Mass on Sunday. But if your heart is with our Lord, you find a way, whether it's Saturday night or early on Sunday morning or perhaps late on Sunday night, you find a way to get the Mass.
Yes, and so for parents, sometimes it means that you have to take a stand and say, this is our priority. I have some good friends whose son played you know, high school football, and you know, the team was doing something on Sunday morning, and they said, I'm sorry, coach, you know, Sunday morning is when we go to church. And our son will be there after we go to church, but this is a priority. And it was a huge sacrifice. I think the coach respected it in the long run. Their son was kind of embarrassed, you know, at the time. But knowing them now, he's now out of college and a young man. He sees that, wow, my parents, this is important to them. And usually kids, when they see what's important to their parents, it becomes important to them. And so talking to parents out there, please don't make sports your God or your child's God. Keep things in perspective. You know, even if they are going to play at the professional level, it's temporary. Let's focus on, you know, eternity and putting our faith in God. And I'm speaking from someone who, I grew up in a family that we didn't really go to church. And, you know, it wasn't a priority in our family, and I wish it was. And somehow God brought me into the priesthood through that. But, you know, parents, you have that great opportunity and responsibility. As we heard just in the last segment, when you baptize your children, you promise to raise them in the faith, and you are the first teachers of them in the faith. And so just an encouragement to make the Lord Jesus and our Catholic faith a priority in your kids' lives.
Father Burke, with the football season starting, college football this past weekend, it reminds me of one of my favorite all-time coaches, former Notre Dame head coach Lou Holtz, who once said, I've never known anybody to achieve anything without overcoming adversity. And I always think of how this applies not only to athletes, but also to our Catholic saints and to us as well.
Yeah, adversity is a part of life. And, you know, I remember thinking when I became Catholic originally that, wow, my now my life is going to be easy, you know. And as I read the scriptures, you know, Jesus says there's going to be crosses to carry. Life is not going to be easy, but I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And so for all of us to realize as we're carrying these crosses, as we face adversity, to have that endurance and to keep our eyes on Jesus and the ultimate prize of heaven, and to know that the Lord will walk us through adversity, and we all experience it, but the Lord says, I'll be with you always until the end of time.
Well, Father Burke, as always, it's a joy. I love your spiritual perspective on sports and our Catholic faith, and just the strong connections between the two. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, John. God bless you, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. And next week is Labor Day, right?
Absolutely. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon. Father Burke Master is the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and the baseball priest. Coming up after a short timeout, our former NBA referee, Deacon Steve Javi, will be with us once again to continue his inspirational story from the hardwood to the diaconate. Stay with us as Morning Air continues. There's much more to come here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Minutes after the hour, let's talk hoops and faith. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn Leverins is enjoying a day off. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up momentarily, Deacon Steve Javi, a former NBA referee, will continue his inspiring story of going from the NBA hardwood to the altar of God and then eventually to the diaconate. We're also going to bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up here this half hour on Morning Air. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, after 25 seasons as a top-tier NBA referee, our next guest received the call of God to leave the basketball hardwood and become a permanent Catholic deacon. Former NBA referee Steve Javi was rated as one of the NBA's top refs with more than 1,500 games, including 200-plus playoff games and 20 NBA finals. Last week, Deacon Steve joined us to share his story. We started to talk about the basketball part of his story. Let me set the stage for today's discussion with yet some additional other highlights of his NBA career.
Check for an offensive round. I thought you hit him when he went up for the shot.
Okay, all right. Same way on the other end now.
You got
his hands over my head.
I know we talked about that.
On the follow through, if you can't follow through,
once that ball's out of your hand, Dirk, I'm not going to give you that.
Split second.
I'm not going to give you that, Dirk. I've never given it in 16 years, and I'm not going to start now. All right? I'm not going to see everything. All right?
They have a time.
That's all I want. Yeah, but why are you like always? I'm telling you, if I see something's a foul, I'm going to blow the whistle. All right? I'm just trying to say, stay in your game. I'll stay in the mine. Let's go.
I'm trying
to be in the mine, too. I want to try to make every call right. I'm not going to be right, unfortunately, 100% of the time.
All right.
And I'm sure this evokes some memories. 25 years as an NBA ref, and now joining us to continue sharing his incredible journey is Deacon Steve Javi, a former NBA referee and now a deacon at St. Andrew Parish in Newtown, Pennsylvania. He went from the hardwood to homilies. Good morning once again, Deacon Steve. It's great to be with you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us again this week.
Hey, John, good morning, and thanks for having me. Couple things. I love the intro music, which reminded me of standing at the United Center at half court. Okay, when the music you were playing before the segment, that got me going. And then also listening to those little clips reminded me that it didn't matter what I said. I didn't think they were listening at all.
Oh, great, great memory. There's so many memories. I mean, my goodness. We could talk just the sports part of your experience as a referee and your journey for hours. But, you know, we started to talk about your journey last week from NBA referee to deacon. Today, I want to continue with the faith part of your story. Can you give us a little recap for those who may not have been with us last week? Just a brief recap of what it was like your days as an NBA ref for those who missed the show last week.
Certainly, John. You know, I was very fortunate in my life because I was a sports guy growing up with a family of sports, and was blessed enough to make my living at refereeing professional basketball, which I thank God for. And to me, I didn't have any Monday mornings. Every night was a Friday night to me. That's how much I enjoyed my job. But obviously, I got hurt. And I had to retire because of injuries to my knee, and couldn't referee anymore. And was wondering what the Lord was going to do with my life, and how He was going to lead me down a path of serving Him. And with the help of my wife, who basically I'll say reverted me back to my Catholic faith when I met her in prayer, that He called me to the diaconate, which I couldn't believe at the time. And so, right now, John, I still can't believe it. He has called me to do His work in this ministry, which is incredible. And I'll just say that I was, as I said, I enjoyed my career and job, but I've never been more fulfilled in my life, spiritually in every which way of my life, than I have been now in my ministry as a deacon. So it's been an incredible journey so far, and I know it continues. And I just, my goal right now, it seems like, is to, I want everybody to feel the way that I do about my faith and about the Lord. And if I can just project that to people as I speak with them, or even when I give a homily, just to be, you know, let them know that this is what to believe in. This is the way to go, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Absolutely. And Deacon Steve, let's talk about your wife, Mary Ellen, and how inspirational she was to you in rediscovering, returning back to your Catholic roots, to your Catholic faith.
Yeah, and John, and she continues to be. My wife, I don't think anybody loves the Lord more than my wife, Mary Ellen. It's amazing. She just continues to inspire me each and every day, and whether it be in prayer and whether how she loves and so on and so forth. But yeah, she was the one that when I first met her, I was a wayward Catholic, to say. I wasn't really practicing my faith at all, and I saw how she was practicing her faith. And when we went to Mass one day, I start complaining about the Mass and the homily and so on, she said to me when we were dating, she goes, "Well, what did you put into it?" And I said, "Well, nothing." She goes, "Well, why did you expect to get anything out of it?" And it's so true. I think sometimes we go to church or we do things and we just expect to take from things. And, you know, worshiping, as we all know, is just giving praise and adoration to the Lord. And when I looked at her life, I looked at how she was, I wanted to be like her. I really did. So she redirected me back to my faith and got me back on track. And if it wasn't for her, I know that I wouldn't be in my faith journey right now in the ministry that I'm in.
Deacon Steve, at what point in your NBA refereeing career did she really you know, hit home? Did she hit your heart where you decided to come back to your faith?
I think it was actually even before we got married. My first 5 years in the NBA, I was single, you know, living life on the road, taking my golf clubs with me, having a fun time and so on and so forth. And I meet Mary Ellen, and she's the one that, you know, that's when it hit hard, when we were dating prior to us being married. And that's when I started going back to Mass. And that's when I realized that, you know what, I'm missing out on my faith and missing out on that relationship with our Lord. And from there, I just kept, you know, by her and I together and our relationship, I just kept, you know, going to Mass. And of course, then certain things happen in your life. I know during our marriage, there's certain situations happen, nothing within our marriage, but within outside things that happen that you, as I say, we all have stuff and we have to give it over to the Lord. And because of the reversion back to my faith, I was able to give things over to the Lord, start going to daily Mass because certain things I couldn't handle and I needed to receive Him each and every day for my strength and my spiritual nourishment. And if it wasn't for Mary Ellen, I wouldn't have been able to experience all that and be in my faith journey.
What about your call to the diaconate? At what point did you experience the Lord knocking at your door?
Yeah, I think I said this last week too, John. It's and we brought the name up, Jeff Cavins. who you said used to host your show before, which is really incredible. But I
in
really
fact, he's
never,
the one who brought me to Relevant Radio. Full disclosure,
isn't it? How about that? He brings you to the radio. He brings me to the Lord and the ministry. He's doing pretty good work, I think.
No doubt. You know? No doubt.
Yeah, but we after I had to leave the court because of my injuries, I just knew I had to serve the Lord in a certain way, and I just didn't know what or how I was going to do that. And I prayed on that. I just said, Lord, you know, just guide me the way you want me to do it, and so on. And it took probably about 6, 7, 8 months before Jeff Cavins came to our parish to speak, and he was talking about how God speaks to us. And obviously, at the time, I wasn't hearing anything from the Lord. But during that afternoon of his presentation, the word deacon came into my mind. Now, I had no idea what a deacon did, with their responsibilities, anything like that. All I know is we had a couple deacons at our parish who were great men and very nice men, which I really knew. And I went to my pastor and just said, I couldn't get this word out of my mind, deacon. And he called down to the seminary, and luckily they took me down there, interviewed me, accepted me, and put me right into a class. And 7 years later, I was putting one foot in front of the other, as my pastor said, and was walking down the cathedral aisle to ordination, which was just incredible.
And it didn't happen overnight. It was a long road, a long process, 7+ years of formation. Talk about what that experience was like, that formation to become a permanent Catholic deacon.
Yeah, that's a great question, John, because I know at first I was so intimidated by it, because I was never this student per se in school, because I was always involved in sports. So the reason why I went to college was on a baseball scholarship. The reason why I did certain things was all revolving around sports and not schooling. So when I looked at this formation period, which is basically 5 years of 2 years of testing and 2 years of discernment, and then 5 years of these master's level programs and courses, I was really intimidated, because I'm sitting there saying, well, you know, I really wasn't that good of a student, and how can I do this? But it's really amazing when you really want to learn more about your faith, and the professors at St. Charles Seminary in Philadelphia are just phenomenal people. It was just incredible. There were some classes, Johnny, gosh, I could go on and on for this. There were some classes that my wife and I would just be driving home, because the wives are always encouraged to come to the classes with the candidates, because, you know, that's their life too. And we would sit there and talk about what the professor just spoke about that evening, and we were just blown away at times. Then the next morning, we have our cup of coffee and sit and talk about, you know, what this one professor said about our faith and this. It was just an incredible experience. And the professors there were there to help you. They weren't there to, like, you weren't 18 years old trying to pass a course. Of course you want to pass, but you want to learn more than anything else. And they were so helpful and so encouraging that it was incredible. You think it's a long period of time, 7 years, which it is, but it really flew by pretty quickly. And quite frankly, in the seventh year, I can still remember the feeling of walking through the seminary halls and just saying, like, I can't believe how fast these 7 years went.
Absolutely. We're joined by Deacon Steve Javy, former NBA referee and deacon at St. Andrew Parish in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Deacon, we need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about your ordination day and what you remember about that day. So we're going to continue our conversation with Deacon Steve Javy, former NBA referee. If you want to jump into the conversation, if you have a question for Deacon Steve, our number is 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of the show, if you're a sports fan, especially a basketball fan, and you have a question for Deacon Steve. Also want to remind you that in case you missed our first part of our conversation last week, you can always go to the Relevant Radio archives at relevantradio.com and go to the Morning Air podcast to listen to the first part of our conversation, in which we heavily spoke about his NBA days. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Six minutes after the hour, the final countdown. I always think of the Detroit Pistons at the Palace of Auburn Hills with their fabulous pregame show. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us as we continue our conversation with Deacon Steve Javy. 25 years as an NBA referee and now a deacon at St. Andrew Parish in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Deacon Steve, welcome back.
Thank you, John. Always great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that tune that evokes memories of the Palace of Auburn Hills in Michigan.
Yeah, and I have some good memories and some bad memories of the Palace in Auburn Hills. That was a tough team to referee, John.
The bad boys.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, as you can see how the game has changed so differently from then till now. But we had I had some challenging games trying to keep the games under control during those days in the Palace.
Well, you know, you went from wearing a two-tone officiating uniform in the NBA to now wearing a green chasuble and a white cassock. Any similarities between these two uniforms, between being a deacon and a referee?
That's a great question. One thing I first will say is the fact when I talk to people about our faith and I talk about getting out of your comfort zone. Sometimes we're stuck in our faith and we're just like, we just keep doing the same things and we expect different results. And it's like, no, it's going to be the same result. And I always encourage people to step out of their comfort zone. And once they do, the Lord meets you there. And once you take a step out of your comfort zone in your spiritual life, the Lord meets you there and pulls you in that you'll never take that step back. And I tell people, especially when I am in my, my Dalmatic, I sit there and say, if you don't think this isn't out of my comfort zone, because I was used to having, like you said, John, this two-tone shirt with a whistle, and all of a sudden, now, you know, I'm dressed like this. And I said, this is out of the comfort zone. But the Lord, once you give him a little bit, he will not be outdone in generosity. So I encourage people to always try to take that next step out of your comfort zone. If you're thinking about going to adoration because you haven't for a while, or going to reconciliation because you haven't, take that next step and do it, because the Lord's going to meet you there and pull you in, and you'll never look back. But the similarities, it's funny you were talking, I was thinking about that too. As you were playing the intro prior to our interview here, is I think what people need to be, people need, they want someone that they can talk to, I think. And I think I learned that to be a pretty good listener within the NBA, because you have so many people talking to you about, what was that call? What was this call? And trying to tell you what they were saying on the floor. Well, at the same time, when you're a deacon, you have parishioners who need to, you know, share with you certain things in their life. And they want you just to listen and not to really fix it sometimes, but just to be able to, you know, have some compassion with them and walk with them where they are in their journey. So I think through officiating of trying to be a decent listener, I've learned to listen to people in my parish a little bit more.
Deacon Steve, let's go back to your ordination day at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary before the bishop as you're kneeling there. Talk about that moment when you finally became a Catholic deacon.
It's really indescribable, John. I'll try to do the best I can. And it was at it's Archbishop Chaput, which he's just retired recently. What a fine man. We were actually the last ordination class that Archbishop Chaput ordained. And I can still remember walking down the aisle because the morning of, as a matter of fact, I'll revert back a little. The morning of our ordination, my wife and I stayed at a hotel right next to the cathedral. And just to make sure there was no traffic the next day, to make sure we could get there on time. And I wake up in the morning and my wife and I have a cup of coffee and she's saying, well, are you sure now? Because she's always asking, like, are you sure? Are you feeling positive? I go, no, I'm not sure yet. And I still remember as we start processing in and I'm walking down the aisle of the cathedral in Philadelphia, I'm just looking up at the crucifix and saying, well, Lord, I guess this is it. This is what you really have planned for me. And it was just the most incredible 2 hours. And it didn't seem like 2 hours. But when the Archbishop laid hands on us and when he laid hands on me, it was just a feeling. It was so surreal. And just to know that I was going to now be serving the Lord in his church was just like, I just can't believe you're doing this to me. I really can't. And as I said, John, I still can't believe it. But as we all know, the old saying is, you know, we don't have to be qualified because he'll qualify us. And he does. And he did. And I know I had a lot of friends and family at the cathedral that day. And if anybody has never been to an ordination, I encourage them to go, because if you can't feel the Holy Spirit, then you'll never feel the Holy Spirit, because it was all around. It was everywhere. In our party afterwards, which I remember inviting so many family and friends, everyone to the person who was saying, that was incredible. Even people who are wayward Catholics who hadn't been to Mass in a while were saying how they felt the Holy Spirit. It was just the most incredible experience. And it was something, obviously, I'll never forget.
Can you believe that even on the NBA website, there's a beautiful photo of yourself with your lovely wife and Archbishop Chaput on the NBA website telling your story?
Wow. That is incredible. And I guess, you know, when my wife and I talk about this, John, it seems like part of my calling is to be able to revert to men that were like myself, who were wayward Catholics, who maybe questioned the faith, and to know that, you know, it's pretty cool. You can still love sports and you can still be competitive, but you can still love the Lord too, because he gives you all these talents to be able to compete and to do your job and all too. And I think that a lot of men sit there and just are like inward about their faith, or, man, it's okay to love the Lord and it's okay to love your sports too at the same time. And I think if I can just talk to the guys, because I've been everywhere in my faith, John. There isn't a place that I haven't been that people are now. And I can relate to that. But I know that when you just, you know, trust the Lord and, you know, give a little bit to him, he's going to pull you into the faith, and it's going to be wonderful.
St. John Paul II was known as the athlete's pope. He used to say that sports is like a school of virtue, that you can learn so much from it. What were some of the virtuous life lessons that you learned from hoops that apply to your life today in the spiritual life as a deacon?
That's a really good question, John. One thing for sure is to be committed, you know, to be committed to your life, say in sports, to your job, and to be good at it, and also to be committed, say, as a deacon to the church and to the parish and to my pastor. You know, to be able to, you know, have the discipline, I think, in order to succeed in your professional life, but also that gives you the discipline within your prayer life too. So I would say being committed and to have that discipline, which is really something you need that in your spiritual life. Because I know there are times that I'm undisciplined and I can feel that. And all of a sudden, when I sometimes will take maybe still even a golf trip with some of the guys who are not, say, part of my parish that I call like in the secular world, I get a little undisciplined and I have to get back to my commitment to my faith, to my prayer life, and the discipline to that. So I think commitment and discipline, really, it's taught me.
Ken is joining us from Bloomington, Indiana. Ken, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Deacon Steve Javy.
Yeah, thank you. Steve, I had a question for you. Earlier in your talk, you talked about turning things over to the Lord, and I was wondering how that worked with you and how you felt and after you did that. I was wondering about that process, if you can help me there.
Ken, first of all, thanks for the phone call, Ken, and thanks for listening to Relevant Radio here. That's a great question, Ken. I hope I can help you answer it, because sometimes I can't articulate it as well as I feel it. But what I will say is this, is that I truly believe that there's times in our lives that we are faced with, that the Lord actually uses in our life to get closer to him. And I think in my life, I had a couple situations which I couldn't handle in my life. I just couldn't. It was either bringing me some stress or anxiety, whatever it may be. And no matter what I did, it was like swimming upstream. And by handing it over to the Lord in prayer, I'd go to church and I would just sit there and say, Lord, I can't handle this. I need you to be here with me and you to handle it. Now, that doesn't mean I sit back and do nothing about it. That means I just continue to handle the problem at hand, but accept the fact that wherever it's going to lead me, whether it be in my mind a good result or bad result, that the Lord has me. And even if I consider it a bad result, there's something the Lord will make good out of this. I had a situation, Ken, in my life, and you could probably read about it with the NBA referees. We went to a federal court on this tax case, and I took it to trial with the government. And I know one thing: if I was convicted of this tax issue that the government said we did, which we didn't do, I would have gone to maybe jail. And I took it to trial anyway. But here I am thinking about jail looming over my head, and I said, Lord, I can't handle this. And that's actually the time I started going to daily Mass. And I had to go every day, because I couldn't handle it on my own, and I needed that peace and comfort that the Eucharist and that the Lord gave me each and every day. And if I realized in my mind, I accepted the fact that if I went to jail, I was even thinking, well, maybe there's some people there that needed help, that needed me to be there with them, whatever it may be, or maybe I needed someone who was there, and that's how I would hand it over to the Lord.
Ken, thanks so much for calling. Deacon Steve, we have about a minute left. Time has just flown by here on this show. Briefly, of all the duties that you now have as a deacon, what do you love the most, and how gratifying, how much joy has it brought to your life to be a deacon and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ?
John, thanks for that question. There are so many things. I mean, I love baptisms. To see the babies and they're coming into the church and the parents and the people are all so happy. I've performed some wedding ceremonies already. That's wonderful too. It really is great. Taking communion to the people who are ill. It's phenomenal. But the challenging part, I think the most satisfying part is homiletics, of giving homilies when I'm assigned. It's challenging on my part. It takes a lot of time, a lot of prayer. Sometimes I even stress over it again. I ask the Lord for his help, of course, because it's him working through me. But I think I get the most satisfaction is when something you say in your homily, a person comes up to you afterwards and said, I needed to hear that today. Thank you for that. So that's probably one of the most satisfying.
Outstanding. Well, Deacon Steve, thank you so much for sharing your incredible journey. It's been a joy and many, many blessings on your ministry as a permanent deacon.
John, I thank you for having me last week. Thank you for having me this week. Anytime you need me to come on, I'd love to come on to talk with you about sports, faith, whatever you need, John. And I thank you for your ministry, too, and what you're doing.
Thank you, Deacon Steve. You can book it. Count on it. We'll be checking in with you down the road. Deacon Steve Javy, former NBA referee and a permanent deacon at St. Andrew Parish in Newtown, Pennsylvania. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Value of a Good Name. Henry Heinz, born in 1844 to German immigrants in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, helped support his family as a teenager by growing and selling vegetables in the family garden. After graduating from college and getting married, he started a business selling horseradish. In 1875, a national financial collapse drove the young company into bankruptcy. Despite the legal freedom bankruptcy gave him, Heinz regarded each of the company's outstanding debts as a moral obligation and personally paid back every penny. Heinz went on to found the H.J. Heinz Company with its 57 varieties and became a leading American businessman. A devout Christian, he was known for the generous treatment of his employees and his generosity to Christian causes. Throughout his life, Heinz conducted his business and personal dealings with the same integrity that led him to pay back hundreds of thousands of dollars he technically did not owe. He began his will with these words, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold.
Our thanks to Glenn, who returns tomorrow to be with us live. And of course, you can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, just send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's continue to pray for the people down in Louisiana after the horrible hurricane. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow.